Today's episode of Final Girls Horrorcast is brought to you by Armando, Black Cat, Monica, and Mikey H.
You're listening to the Modern Horrors Podcast Network.
And thanks for joining us on the 147th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
This week, we're continuing our October special Halloween grab bag series with Death Machine and the beloved cult film Halloween 3.
For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Death Machine is available on Prime Video, and Halloween 3 is currently streaming on HBO Go and HBO Now, so check those out before listening if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener.
But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Black Christmas with a December 13th release date. It's written and directed by Sophia Takal and also written by April Wolf. The IMDb summary is: a group of students are stalked by a stranger during their Christmas break, a remake of the 1974 horror film Black Christmas. No, it's not IMDb.
Lies.
It has the same name as the 1974 horror film Black Christmas. Why do they keep doing this?
Stop. This is fucking terrible.
Leave Black Christmas alone.
Terrible. Terrible.
I'm not against remakes. I'm not against reimaginings. But what is this shit?
This is neither or. This is the same title and not at all anything even sort of like.
Well, there's a sorority.
Okay. Fine. You got me.
That's it.
That's so
it. A sorority and a killer or killers. Supernatural? I don't know. I don't. We talked about this slightly when we were on Modern Horrors a couple weeks ago. So
we did.
I know.
I'm having deja vu.
I know you're having deja vu, Carly. Carly's like, I know we did this. And I'm like, we did not do it on our show. We did it on Modern Horrors, I promise you.
Am I going crazy?
And I said very little about it because I wanted to talk about it on our show way more.
I just said it's terrible. No, thank you.
And I hate, like, I want to champion female writer directors so badly, especially in horror. And we have a female writer, female director team. I want to be stoked, but I cannot be stoked. Nothing looks good about this. It's Blumhouse also, which is kind of hit and miss nowadays. It's, like, sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's awesome. You never really know what you're going to get. Nothing about this makes me want to see it, though.
No.
Like, Black Christmas is my favorite slasher of all time. Like, hands down, it's very... Usually, if someone asks me what my favorite horror film is, like, I stutter a lot and say nothing. But if someone asked me what my favorite slasher was, hands down, Black Christmas, 1974. Hands down. Easy answer, because to me, it's the very, very best and the very, very scariest. This doesn't even look a little bit like it, though.
No, and I even got, like, okay, Princess Bride is my favorite movie of all time. Mr. Carey always is in this. And I was still just like, fuck this movie.
and the quotes over the trailer are like, ho, 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 bitch. Like, no, no, ho, 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 bitch.
I can't.
No.
No, thank you. This you movie needs to go
with
away.
The wrong sisters. No.
No.
No, I'm
this
having
have
none
been
of this.
Called something else and released on Netflix. This has no business being called Black Christmas and being released in theaters.
But
I'm sorry.
Like, there's like some, like, I don't know, like underground sorority, or not sorority, a fraternity, death group. Like, I just don't know what's happening. I'm not interested. I don't care. There's not a crazy man in the attic killing people. I don't care.
I don't care. I'm not terrified by creepy phone calls.
I do not care. Now, I didn't see the other remake of Black Christmas because, again, original Black Christmas is my favorite, and I'm okay without watching new ones. Like, I don't need new ones. But yeah. Have you seen the one between these two, Carly?
I have not, because okay. I also kind of just assumed that it was going to be garbage.
Right.
No offense. But my friend Jay, whose favorite movie of all time is Black Christmas, did see it, and he was like, that movie was probably 100 times better than this movie looks.
It's just like, why are we remaking it again?
Yeah.
Like, pick something else, dudes.
It's just upsetting.
I'd like to see some female horror director / writers doing some original shit.
Yeah, same.
You know, like, let's just start over. New things. You know? I don't know. It's fine. Whatever. I'm just saying.
I do know. I support it. I'd prefer it.
It's just frustrating because I want to be excited when there's female writer directors.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we see a female team, both writer and director. It's rare that we see that in horror. And I want to be excited. And I cannot be there for this. I cannot do it. I'm sorry. I won't see it. I'm just not interested.
Yeah.
All right.
Me either. Rant. Go away.
And rant.
See ya.
Peace out. Black Bye. Christmas 2019.
Whatever.
What year is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't care. Moving on. Oh my God, Carly, you are so excited to talk about today's films. I know it. I can sense it. I can feel it in my brain.
I have
like
three things to say about it, so this is going to be an adventure of a segment.
It doesn't matter because I have been drinking, so I will be talking a lot.
Great. I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about it.
Jump in wherever you feel. I have notes upon notes up, stacked on stacks.
I have like two notes in my brain about it. Of course, we are talking about the hit from 1994, Death Machine.
Everyone heard of it. Big, big, big box office hit.
Yep. Written and directed by Stephen Norrington. We got, you know, it's gold when there's a chunk of an IMDb summary.
There you go.
Cenk Armaments is experimenting with the ultimate fighting machine, which is part human, part machine. So far, the Hard Man Project has been unreliable and has killed a number of innocent people. The genius behind this project is Jack, who lives in a world of models, toys, and magazines. When he is fired by Kale for killing a few corporate officers, he unleashes the ultimate killing machine called the War Beast against Kale and those who would help her.
Okay. I mean, it's not totally accurate, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. I'll go with it. I'll run with it.
You hated this, right?
I didn't hate it. It just didn't speak to me. Like, I had no idea
what
was going on.
What did you want the movie to say to you specifically?
I wanted it to tell me what was happening. And I know that, like, I know that, like, things were obviously happening and there was, like, the alien robot. And Rachel Weisz was in it,
There's
which
no
is
aliens,
pretty sweet.
Girl. I don't know what you're talking about.
It
talking
looked about, oh, like a xenomorph. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But I was literally, it was like I was staring at this thing that wasn't, like, I wasn't, like, comprehending any of the information that it was feeding me. And I was just kind of like, everything was so dramatic. Kale, I feel like everything that she said was so dramatic. And everybody was named after a famous horror person. We had Sam Raimi. We had John Carpenter. Yeah. I was very distracted by that for some reason.
Totally.
There was just a lot being thrown at me and nothing was sticking.
I will say, though, there is something charming about this movie. Now, I know you might not feel the same, but I enjoyed my time with Death Machine. I would watch Death Machine again.
Amazing. This would have been a really great watch along.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like,
I think maybe that's what I was missing. I was missing that camaraderie of, like, I want to talk about how shitty this is. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. And not to jump ahead, but Halloween 3 doesn't make any more sense than this movie makes.
But it's gold.
Okay.
It's freaking gold.
Okay. I understand that universally, and myself is no exception. Halloween 3 is a gem and a treasure, and we will talk about it, of course, coming up. But I'm just going to say out loud that Halloween 3 and Death Machine make equal amounts of sense. Okay. In terms of plot, in terms of story, in terms of character development. If anything, Death Machine makes more sense than Halloween 3. And okay. That's an argument we can have, Carly. I will get into it, but I'm just saying I thought Death Machine made more sense than Halloween 3, especially upon this watching. And I've seen Halloween 3 no less than 20 times. And I still don't really understand the plot of it.
You know, that's okay.
It is okay. And I love Halloween 3 no more or less for it. I'm just saying.
Sure, like the super objective of the villain.
I'm a big enough person to admit that I love a horror movie that really doesn't make any sense at all.
I will say that the super villain of this movie definitely had more of an agenda that made sense than the super villain in Halloween 3.
Thank you.
I can definitely agree with that.
And Brad Dourif. We love Brad Dourif.
He was in it. Yep.
We love
him. We also love Tom Atkins.
Rachel Weisz is also in this, by the way, who is your girlfriend for life.
She is my girlfriend for life, even though she doesn't know it. And this was her first debut as, what was it, like assistant number three or something?
She's barely in it. But she's cute as a button and still is here.
It's such a weird interaction because, like, there's no females basically in this movie except for really Kale. Right. And, like, this is the one interaction where, like, two women actually talk to each other. And Rachel Weisz is like, you should watch out for this guy. And she's like, is that a threat? And she's like, no, just it's a warning. Bye.
Bye. Never see you again. Peace out.
It's just such a weird scene.
I'm gonna be in the mummy in a couple years.
Yeah, I'm gonna go make out with O'Connell. Sorry, that's what happened. So in my head,
this movie is basically a fan film of Alien.
Yes, with robots.
It feels a lot like Alien without any aliens.
Yeah.
I think personally, it's an enjoyable experience. It's a little too long for my taste, personally.
Agreed.
But I have seen way worse. I would watch again. I am into it.
Have you ever... It's so funny because I was actually excited to watch this movie based on my friends and I, when I lived in Boise, would love like getting together, like drinking and watching the cheesy... reinterpretations, let's say, of the Transformer movies. I think they were called Transmorphers.
Okay.
And like this,
why does that sound like, familiar?
Because I don't know, I think that's what it was called. No, but it was literally like they would release a Transformers movie and then boom, a Transmorphers movie would be on Netflix. It was like clockwork. And like I don't know why, but this kind of gave me that vibe of like just terribly made. But, like, I don't know, just cheesy.
I don't even know if it's terribly made. Is it?
No, not for 1994. But Transmorphers definitely was.
It's pretty good. And it looks all right.
No, it was definitely very impressive for the time, I'd say.
I wish there were more robot shots.
Yeah.
They cut away from the robot quite often and concentrate more on the relationships. But the gore that we do get is pretty good. I don't know what the budget was for this movie, but I would imagine it's not awful. I have never heard of this movie before until
me either.
We did it. But I would venture to guess that this movie should probably be a little bit more popular than it is. I think it's worth watching if you like, you know, early 90s, like horror sci-fi action films, because it's... basic. I mean, it's along the lines of a lot of movies that are very popular. It's
not totally. It totally is.
It's, you know, it's slightly less good, but it's still entertaining and fun, especially with a group of people. Watching this with the group, it would be a good time.
I honestly think with a group of people watching this would be amazing. And a fun fact, because both of our gripes, let's say, are that this movie was like an hour and a half long. Apparently, there's a 99-minute runtime, and then the director's cut is 111 minutes. Yeah,
so there's four
apparently
different
the
versions.
Director also thought that this was too long.
111 minutes, 128 minutes, and then two that are ones at 85 minutes and one that's 99 minutes.
So, I mean, so this is movies all over the place. The director's cut, which is usually the one that I try to go for, less time than what we saw. So the director agreed with us that this movie should not have been that long.
It's a little too long, you know? I like the idea of shaving like 18 minutes off.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't need it.
So basically we have a huge conglomerate company, high rise in the city that creates different weapons. I think they just overall they create weapons, and they're working with robots and humanoids and different things. And the guy that's behind the most sensitive weaponry for this company is bonkers and hyper genius. And his name is Jack Dante, right?
Correct.
AKA, I mean, everyone has like a horror name. Not everyone, but most people have a horror name. And Jack Dante is AKA Joe Dante, you know?
Right.
So Jack Dante is bonkers, played by our BFF, Final Girls BFF, Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif.
Who, by the way, is wearing an incredible wig.
Oh my God, the wig is amazing. And like, it's so funny because when I saw him, I was like, is that? And I had this like, oh shit moment where I got really excited and immediately grabbed my phone because apparently I missed the opening credits where it said his name. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, once you hear Brad Dourif talks, you're like, oh yeah, Brad Dourif.
It's true. It's true.
Exorcist
he's so
3,
extravagant.
Brad Dourif.
He's
Child's
just epic.
Play, Brad Dourif.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Brad Dourif is bonkers. He plays bonkers so well.
He really does.
And he's basically like a 12-year-old boy with a god complex. I mean, he has like a room that is hands off and it's like, keep out. And there's like naked girls and sketching and comic books. It's a very early to mid 90s 12-year-old boy room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, he's a madman. He's totally taken over this company and held this company hostage because of his hacking skills and his superior intelligence over everybody. And then we have this woman, Kale, who is basically our Ripley, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who could be played by a man easily.
Definitely.
And is played by a woman, so we appreciate that. Is a newer higher up at this company and doesn't quite understand that Jack is in charge. You know, that Jack kind of calls the shots. And she's taking none of his shit, and it doesn't go well. Because Jack has knowledge that she doesn't have, and Jack also has a war beast that he created, which is basically a giant robot that can kill people.
Yep, real quick.
It senses pheromones. If it feeds off your fear, it can find you wherever you are, bust through walls, and basically rip you from end to end.
Yep, a noble death.
So then there's that happening. So Kale is trying to keep Jack from basically getting out of the building. Jack is trying to kill everybody, but he kind of also has a crush on Kale. And then we also have these activists that have broken into the building and are trying to take the building down because this giant company has killed people, right?
Yes.
So basically the building's on lockdown. We have activists, we have Kale, and we have Jack, and there's a couple other people, but they die pretty quickly. So I like the setup of it. It kind of feels a little bit like Die Hard and a little bit like Alien.
It feels very much to me like Alien.
Especially
when you like get into it, when it like gets into like just the core group of characters that are left.
Sure.
You know?
There's definitely, I don't know why, but I definitely felt Die Hard a little bit too. And I think it was just because it's like the building and they're going through the different floors and dealing with shit.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I thought of. and I mean, it's not awful. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but like, it's fun to watch. And Kale is a badass. You know, people love and champion Ripley, but Kale is just as much of a badass as Ripley is.
She's a lot more angry. I feel like she's always fighting everybody.
And she like, I don't know, she doesn't even necessarily have the training for it. I kept waiting to find out that she was like a robot or something, but she's not a robot. She's just a badass bitch. Gives no shits.
She was written that way.
I like it. I like it. I appreciate that about her. Unapologetic and just ready to fucking tear the house down.
Kill some people.
Kill some people. For sure. So we also have like, there's a couple different activists. One of them has like David Bowie face paint.
I didn't even think about that.
And I don't, I just called him fake David Bowie for like half my notes until I found out he had a name, which is Yutani.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yutani. There's one named,
which is an alien reference, right?
It is, yeah. One's named Yutani and one's named Wayland, and in Alien the company's named Yutani Wayland. So it's definitely a alien
this
nod.
Movie is Alien.
We also have a character named Scott Ridley. So Ridley Scott, again, another alien reference. So we got quite a bit of alien references. We also have Sam Raimi, a character named Sam Raimi, just straight up the character's
just
name
straight
Sam
up,
Raimi.
And John Carpenter.
Straight up John Carpenter, and then Jack Dante, aka Joe Dante. So there's a lot of horror nods here and a lot of alien nods.
In a small span of time, you're just like fired off with all this information, like right
first,
at the back of
and
that.
And I'm looking at IMDb as I'm watching this, and I'm like, wait, Sam Raimi plays an actor? And then I'm like, no, the character's name is Sam Raimi, and I spent way too much time looking at that. It's a little confusing. Like,
I didn't know
Sam Raimi did acting. That doesn't look like Sam Raimi. Oh, no, the character's name is just Sam Raimi.
Do you think it was like a placeholder and then it was just like, fuck it, I'm leaving it?
Well, I mean, we have quite a few horror films. Night of the Creeps, we just did, has a lot of horror director character
For
names.
Sure, but it's like their last names. Yeah. It's not like Sam Raimi and John
Cindy
Carpenter
Cronenberg,
in the same
not
movie.
David Cronenberg.
Exactly.
that's true. But, you know, I'll take it. Although I will say fake David Bowie, is he supposed to be Japanese? Because he's certainly not Japanese.
He's definitely not Japanese.
But I don't know if he's supposed to be Japanese. And he, like, yells, like, the Street Fighter, like, show you can, or what does he say? I don't know, the Street Fighter like yelling thing.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it. But he just like yells like the Street Fighter thing before he attacks someone. But I don't know if he's supposed to be a Japanese or if he just appreciates Japanese culture.
I'm going to go with, I don't know.
I will
say what I'm going to go with.
The actor's name is Martin McDougal. So if that answers any questions. Dude's not Asian.
It answers no questions. Yeah. He's definitely not Asian.
Definitely not Asian. But I don't know if the character was supposed to be Asian.
Yeah.
In any case, we're going to pretend like he's not supposed to be Asian. And maybe he just has an appreciation of Japanese culture. I don't know. We're just going to go with it because otherwise it's upsetting.
It's very true. It's very upsetting.
Let's not take it too seriously.
It's the 90s, I guess.
It was. But yeah, I will say, cool, badass female character, Brad Dourif, fucking robots killing people, weird robot suit that when you put it on turns you into a robot soldier with where you have no emotions and your emotions are put on a floppy disk that will later be uploaded so your personality uploads back to your brain. That's also a thing that happens.
Yep.
I'm not against it, Carly. I'm going to be honest with you. I know you had trouble with this one.
I did.
I'm
going to
stand
trouble.
By saying that Death Machine, not a bad movie to check out if you're interested.
Do it.
Watch it while it's on Prime Video, preferably with a lot of people and alcohol.
Yeah. Do it with a lot of people that you can like have fun with.
Yeah, it's a good time. It really, I've seen worse.
Oh, I've definitely seen worse.
We saw worse last week, honestly. This could have been a lot worse than it was. It's not perfect.
I will agree with that. It could have been worse.
It's definitely like I liked Terminator. I liked Alien. I liked or 80s and 70s sci-fi horror films. I'm going to create a movie that is a celebration of those films. And it's basically like a really long fan film, but with a decent budget and okay effects.
It is like a really long fan film that they knew should have been shorter than it was. So
yeah. With not all acting, I will say.
Seek out the director's cut. I'm curious to see the director's cut.
Or just watch whatever's on Prime Video, because that's all we got, guys.
It's so long.
I don't think you can find a director's cut of this.
I don't know if you can.
Didn't even know it existed until it's last true. Week. You're Carly's fucking championing. I'm drinking, guys.
Championing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're welcome.
What was I saying? I don't remember my sentence.
I championed something.
Director's cuts. And yes. We don't have one. We just have this one.
Well, you take what you can get, guys.
All right. What are we doing?
What's next, Amy?
Oh my God,
tell me more.
We're already moving on. Halloween 3 from 1982. Written and directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, who previously directed films such as the It miniseries and Fright Night Part 2. The IMDb summary is, kids all over America want silver shamrock masks for Halloween. Dr. Daniel Chalice seeks to uncover a plot by silver shamrock owner Connell Cochran.
O'Connell.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. It just says Connell.
Connell. His first name's Connell. His last name's Cochran.
I don't like the name Connell.
It's Connell Cochran.
All right. So I've seen this movie a billion times. I never remember the beginning of this movie. Ever.
This movie is so funny. I was lucky enough. I got to see this movie as part of a three-movie Tom Atkins extravaganza.
Fucking Tom Atkins, man.
It started with this movie, went into Night of the Creeps, and ended with The Fog. And this movie, 11 a.m. we started, and it was packed. There was not a seat in the house. This is a sold-out Sunday movie at 11 a.m. to worship the legend that is Tom Atkins.
Tom Atkins is a treasure to behold.
Oh my God, Amy, I wish that I could have like recorded the whole Q&A because he really fucking is a treasure. And hearing him talk about this movie was phenomenal. And do you know what he said?
What?
He said, you guys thrill me. And I was like,
thrill me.
I was so happy.
We've talked about quite a few Tom Atkins films on the podcast. Yes. Most recently with Night of the Creeps. And I mean, I know I say it, but I really do love him.
Oh, he's such a gentleman, and he's just so kind and so fun. And this movie is just hilarious and like you said, doesn't really make much sense, so enjoyable anyway.
I keep watching this movie over and over every year, expecting it to make more sense. And I feel like it makes less sense every time I see it.
It's so funny because he was talking about it and he was like, you know, John wanted to make, he never really had a plan to make like the Halloween movies a series with Michael Myers. He wanted it to be more of an anthology.
Right.
And so when this movie was released, like they, you know, he was like, well, how, you know, what do you think about the people that don't like that there's like Michael Myers isn't in this movie? And he was like, you know, when we released it, like they wanted it to be called Season of the Witch. But the studio was like, no, it needs to be called Halloween 3. It can be Season of the Witch like after that, but it needs to be like called Halloween 3 so people will go see it. And he was like, so that's what we did. And he's like, you know, how do I feel about people that don't like that Michael Myers isn't in it? Fuck them.
Yes. I do remember going to Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or whatever video rental place was around at the time. And it was, you know, Halloween time one year. And I was like, I want to watch a horror movie. And just picking up Halloween 3 and not knowing that it wasn't Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch a Halloween sequel and I just grabbed one. And
the best mistake of your life.
I remember being so confused. But I still enjoyed it. I remember exactly where I was when I watched this the first time, and I have a soft spot in my heart for this movie. And it's become, and I love what it's become in the horror, in the horror realm with horror fans. I love that this has like such a strong horror fan appreciation. I love that us in our culture, our horror culture, really champion this film and love this film. I keep using the word champion. I think it's just because I'm drinking. It's the drinking word I'm using.
It's a drinking word, my friend.
It is. But I love that this has become what it has become, because I don't think it was appreciated for a very long time.
No, it definitely wasn't.
I mean, now you see Halloween 3 masks at all the horror conventions, and you see Silver Shamrock at like Creepy Company or any of the different horror companies. They have different Silver Shamrock stuff. You know, horror fans know the Silver Shamrock theme song. I have a Halloween 3 pin with all three masks on it. You know, we have The Guest, where we see all three masks in the background. Like, horror fans know Halloween 3. It is our thing. But like, no one else really does, right? I mean, this is a horror kid thing to know.
I think so. But it's, I mean, it's got such gems. Like, there was just so much that was pure about this movie and how kind of ridiculous, like, just this era, I guess, could be, especially with like the romantic relationships, like when they're in,
God, it's so gross.
When they're in the motel, and he's like, "I can get another room, you know," and she's like, "Well, wouldn't that look suspicious?" And he's like, "Well, I mean, like, I could sleep in the car. Like, it'd probably be more comfortable than sleeping on the floor." He's like, "I just kind of want you to be comfortable." And then she's like, "Well, where do you want to sleep?" And then all of a sudden, they're making out.
He is not even acting super interested in her, even though he's playing grab ass with every woman he sees up until he meets Ellie. Tom Atkins as a human and the actress that plays Ellie as a human, they are 24 years apart.
Yeah. Well, and even in the bed after, like, one of the times that they have sex, clearly, he's like, she's like ready to go again. And he's like, "How old are you?"
Yeah. Wrong time to ask that, Tom Atkins. Too little, too late, happened. Tom Atkins.
"I'm older than I look," she says.
Gross. Gross. Oh my Definitely God. Old enough to be her father.
And then, the next day, he's on the phone with the woman at the lab, and he's like, "I'll take you to dinner when I get back."
I don't even think he's very interested in Ellie. I think he's just like, "All right, well, I'm not going to turn down sex with a woman 24 years younger than me." She just lost her father.
I know, and she's just all about that Tom Atkins life.
Her father just fucking died 2 days ago, and she's finding the next 24 years older than her to bang. I don't get it. It's gross. It's weird. It's icky. I love Tom Atkins, but what the fuck are you doing, Ellie? What are you doing? Having sex with you. You are just throwing yourself at him.
The same thing happens with Jamie Lee Curtis in The Fog.
Dude.
One day they're one night they're in the car, the next night they're waking up in bed together.
He is Tom Atkins. What are you going to do?
He's Tom Atkins.
You're just going to say no to Tom Atkins?
No, you're not going to say no to Tom Atkins. Oh my God.
You guys, when Carly was at the Q&A with Tom Atkins, she sent me a picture of him. And I was like, is he a vampire? How does he look that good still? Like, I don't understand how Tom Atkins has not aged in like 20 years.
He hasn't. He looks amazing. It was really cute. There was this one guy there who his mom I think he was from Spain. His mom's Spanish as well. And he was like, my mom is like, is your biggest fan. And she is in Spain and she loves you. And he was like, is your father still alive? And the kid was like, he was like, oh, she'd be very interested. And he was like, I'm just kidding. Like, I'm happily married, like back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay, Tom Atkins.
He was like, but tell your mom I said hi. It was so cute and so funny because it was like, the way that he said it was just, it was amazing. It was so, such a good fucking day.
He still has a mustache. It would be really upsetting to see Tom Atkins without a mustache, don't you think?
Yes.
I'm just saying. So, yeah, I mean, he's hitting on women left and right. He is a terrible father. He.
I love the wife just yelling on the other, it's just on the other line.
Constantly his ex-wife yelling at him for not picking up the kids. Him promising to pick up the kids and then never picking up the kids.
And then her yelling and him just like holding the phone down and going, my ex-wife. And everyone being like, oh,
also yeah. Drinking. Also, he's a doctor, but not really. He's a detective. But we're not sure why he's a detective, because he's a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very weird string of events.
He's okay. So he's let's just backtrack a little bit. Tom Atkins is a doctor. There is a man that appears at his hospital who has obviously had some sort of traumatizing event that happened to them. They're holding on to this Halloween mask. They're upset. They're saying they're gonna kill us all. We're all gonna die. They're gonna kill us all.
And then the guy that finds him runs away really inconspicuously.
That guy is hilarious, by the way.
He's like, bye.
Oh, I love that guy. He's like, I just want to like, I want to help people,
but I don't want to get involved in the bullshit.
I want to help people. I want to do the right thing, but this shit's scary and I'm just fucking running away.
Yeah.
So I'm a black guy in a horror movie and fuck this shit.
He's like, I am out of here.
It's 1982. No, I do love that. But yeah, no. So Tom Atkins has this patient who's basically talking about how they're going to kill him. They're going to kill everybody. And then he gets murdered. And then the person who murders him gets blown up in a car.
Well, he blows himself up in the car.
Well, yes. Long story short, Tom Atkins then has to become a detective and find out who did everything.
Exactly.
Which I don't understand. Why not just make him the detective? Like, I just...
So when that woman blew her face off with the mask, he could go, I'm a doctor. Tell me what's wrong.
But that still didn't help him.
No, it didn't. Oh, no, I was talking about the woman. Oh, you mean Tom Atkins? I'm confused. Where am I?
Yeah, well, you were talking about so Tom Atkins could say, I'm a doctor... when the woman blows her face off.
Right.
But like him saying I'm a doctor had no result.
No, it didn't.
So I don't really think that helps it.
It didn't, but that's why he was, I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't write the
thing. There's no real sense to be made here, girly. It's okay that you don't have an answer.
I have no answers.
It's okay.
Because it's Halloween 3, okay?
Also, so we have Ellie, who's the daughter of the guy that gets murdered by the car blow up person.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad owns a store that sells the Halloween masks. And she found out that her dad disappeared when he went to go to the factory to pick up more masks. Because that's a thing that happens. You order masks, then you drive to the factory physically and pick them up. That's how that works in 1983.
Yeah. Right. There's no such thing as
shipping. Bullshit artist.
You can't ship it.
You can't ship it. There's no delivery system. You have to physically drive to this other state to pick up Halloween masks for your store.
Otherwise, you won't get them. Then you can't sell them. If you can't sell them, you can't make the dollars.
But I will say, every single time the Silver Shamrock song played, I bobbed my head and sang along every fucking single time like a crazy person. And Tony walked in at one point and was like, you need to chill. And I was like, I have no chill. The Silver Shamrock song is playing. Halloween.
Eight more days till Halloween. Oh, we both picked eight.
Silver
that's cute.
Shamrock. I'd say that's where it starts.
I think so too. Yeah.
I love that song. It never gets old. It's not annoying. I can't make it stop. I mean, it is annoying, but it's still not.
It's not annoying.
It is.
For some reason.
It is, but it's not. It is, but I could listen to it over and over again anyway.
Yeah. I'm like, where is that? Give me that on vinyl. I'm playing it on my record player 8 more days till Halloween.
It's a good drinking game if you're watching this movie with friends. Every time you hear the Silver Shamrock song, finish your drink. You're wasted.
Bye.
See you
on Halloween.
See you next Halloween. I would also like to share my note that says Ellie's father died just yesterday, but she can't deny Tom Atkins' peen.
She can't. She wants it.
Not to go backwards, but I just wanted to shout out that note.
It's so funny because it's literally that scene is not even sexual in the slightest.
But there's no reason for it.
Until she turns around and says, well, where do you want to sleep?
It just doesn't. And then she takes a shower. And after she takes a shower, she is freezing. I'm guessing. Like, I don't understand what's happening.
But she won't fully wrap herself in the towel. She just immediately, like, covers herself with the towel. And then she pulls the blanket off and rolls herself in it.
But why? So, like, when they go to this hotel, the hotel manager makes a point to say, we just got new plumbing. The shower heat works great. And she gets out of the shower and you see steam.
Oh, yeah. It looks real hot in there.
She is freezing.
She is.
Which I don't understand. And she immediately wraps herself wet in this blanket. So now your blanket's wet forever. Congratulations. You have a wet blanket now.
It also grossed me out because I can't ever imagine a scenario wanting to wrap myself in a hotel blanket
top
while I'm also wet. Like, that literally made me cringe and
disgusting.
Feel very violated is what it did.
It's absolutely gross.
Yeah, I hated it.
The top layer of hotel blankets are disgusting and I'm gonna throw up.
I don't
up
want
everywhere.
That anywhere near like my naked body.
The last thing I want to do with the top layer of a hotel blanket is wrap it around my naked wet body.
Literally, I'm skeeved out right
disgusting.
Now.
Disgusting.
So gross.
The fuck are you thinking, Ellie?
That was the most horrifying thing about this movie. Was that scene.
I mean, we're just talking about this like you guys have seen it. And if you haven't seen it, please go watch it.
Oh, Jesus. God, I hope. Yeah, Jesus. You need to watch
just
this movie.
Just go freaking watch the fucking movie, guys. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Guys.
I'm
Halloween.
I drank a lot. I'm sorry.
I'm drinking some booch. Patrick, where you at?
I'm just drinking fucking vodka right now. It's not a good day.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I want to talk about the company of Silver Shamrock and their marketing budget.
$8,000 million.
How often does this commercial play?
Every 30 seconds.
I mean, I wrote it down how many times it plays in the movie
Every time
itself.
They turn on the movie, or every time they turn on the TV.
It plays 14 times in the movie alone. 14. And we are led to believe it plays pretty much constantly 24 hours a day for at least the last 10 days of Halloween before Halloween starts.
Yeah, that consumerist life. Your kids need
like,
this.
How? And across the country, across at least America, at the very least.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Which mask would you get?
Skeleton.
All right.
Although I do like the witch one because the witch one has kind of a cloak behind it. Definitely not the pumpkin. Fuck the pumpkin.
The pumpkin just makes me think of that gif.
Like, who wants to wear a pumpkin mask? What is the rest of your body dressed as?
All in black.
Like a skeleton? Cool, you can dress like a skeleton. A witch? Cool, you can dress like a witch. What the fuck is the rest of your body if your head is a pumpkin?
Nothing.
I don't get it.
The limit does not exist.
Stop watching Mean Girls. What? How about you? What mask are you selecting?
The skulls. The skull is definitely the coolest one.
Yeah, the skeleton's cool.
I like the witch one, but I feel like it like folds maybe at your chin a little bit. It looks very long. I don't know how it would fit my head.
You have to worry about having like green skin.
Yeah, your hands need to be
like
green.
Like with a skeleton, you can like wear the gloves and like you can easily find skeleton clothes to wear underneath.
Yeah, totally.
It just makes more sense. That's
true.
That fucking pumpkin mask makes zero fucking sense to me. And that stupid kid that picks the pumpkin mask, I'm like, you're stupid, kid. Why are you picking the fucking... That's the worst one!
Well, he turns into potato bugs, so...
Well...
Bye.
Bye.
And snakes.
That's what happens when you pick the pumpkin mask. You fucking turn into snakes. Congratulations.
So ooh, can I tell another story?
Of course you can. It's your podcast. Do whatever you want.
So, this is... Well, maybe we should kind of get there. Now that I'm thinking about it, because where did we leave off? This shower scene.
Yeah. Right? It doesn't really matter. I'm just going through my notes, but it doesn't, there's no real rhyme or reason to this discussion. Let's not pretend like this ever makes sense, Carly. We just jump around and hope people can follow us talking. That's all.
It's true. That's all there is. That's very true. But I do think this is not what I was going to say, but I do think that the makeup when the woman like sears her face off is like very effective.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That
like so that effective.
So that whole misfiring scene where she finds the chip in the mask and then pokes at it and then it blows her face off. And then we see her face after it's blown off. It's fucking wonderful.
It's so good.
I think that's the reason most people love this film so much.
Is the makeup's legit. Yeah.
The makeup is legit in that scene.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's so good.
It's and real like, good.
Oh, shit. Like, you have an oh, shit moment.
Poor Marge.
She's so nice. Like, she's just kind of a pain in the ass. But, like, she just wants to hang out. Come visit me.
Marge is a sweetheart who just wants a successful business. That's all she wants. She wants to read her trashy romance novels.
Yeah.
And she wants a successful business. What else is there in life?
She wants to be friends with everyone.
She is a lovely woman.
I agree.
Yeah.
She didn't deserve to get misfired in the face.
And it was not anyone's intent.
No.
Even the Silver Shamrock people.
Yeah, they were bummed.
They were bummed. They didn't want Marge to get hurt like that.
Poor Marge.
They wanted her to sell more masks to hurt children. They don't want to hurt Marge. They want to hurt babies.
They wanted to hurt her kids.
Does she have kids?
I feel like she mentioned something, but I don't know.
Oh, I didn't feel like she had children.
She Maybe. Might not.
Oh.
You might be right. I might be thinking of the other guy with the wife with the curlers and their annoying son who chose
God,
the pumpkin.
That family was awful.
They were weird.
They were bad. The salesman of the year.
Yeah,
and his fucking family.
And she's just like, maybe we'll get rich someday.
I mean, they were perfectly fine. They weren't mean or anything.
No.
But they were a little too gung-ho about the Silver Shamrock company.
That's true. But, okay, so my thing was, you know when Tom Atkins is tied up?
Of course.
And he has the mask on?
Of course.
He pulls it off and he throws it on the camera?
He does.
So... one of the Q&A questions was like, did you really toss that mask up and get it on the camera on the first go? And he was like,
no fucking way.
Absolutely not. He was like, my hands were tied. He was like, that thing was like 30 fucking feet away. He was like, I threw it and it like flopped right on the ground. He was like, but I will say that I think he said it was the director picked it up and casually threw it in the direction and it landed right on the camera. And he was like, oh my God. And he went to like the director of cinematography and he's like, did you get that? And the guy was like, no. And so then they had to spend another like 30 minutes trying to get it up there and it did nothing. Every time they tossed it up, it wouldn't work. So they finally had to get a ladder and like throw it up there to get the shot.
Oh. So that is a fun anecdote, Carly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't have much else to say about it. You got robots again in this movie, double the robot fun in this episode. You get cool masks that everyone wants. You have Tom Atkins.
Great marketing.
Wonderful marketing. A catchy jingle that'll yep. stay in your heart forever.
Some really great shots. I do admittedly love the shots of them going through the different cities with the kids. I think like the image on, I don't know if it's HBO, but like of the kids walking against the sunset, like in Arizona. And then there's them walking in LA.
It is cool.
And, like, yeah, it's super cool. Cinematography there. I really liked that part of them all going home to get ready for the raffle.
For the 9 o'clock giveaway.
Yep.
With the magic pumpkin that will make your head turn into snakes and bugs.
It's true. This is one of the few, I don't think I've ever seen a movie that utilizes the potato bug, which is a legitimately terrifying looking bug.
It's true. I will also say that this is one of the only horror films that utilizes child death in such a way.
In such a mass way.
I mean, they're really into killing children.
He's like, I need a reason? That's my favorite line. Do I need a reason? Why are you doing this?
There is very little motive here.
No.
Stonehenge is involved for some reason.
Who knows why?
Don't know why. Pieces of Stonehenge are put in the masks.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow that turns your head into bugs.
Yep.
We don't ask questions. We just like it. And we let it happen. And thank you, Halloween 3, for your service to the horror community.
It's true. Because it's amazing.
It really doesn't make any. This movie makes zero fucking sense.
But it's such a fun ride.
It's such a great time. It's awful and amazing. And Tom Atkins is America's sweetheart.
Oh, he is America's sweetheart. And I just, oh my goodness. The joy that man brings.
And robot people and death. And the slowest car death ever at the beginning of this movie, by the way. Just to backtrack.
It's so true. But he doesn't even really die, does he?
The robot does.
Yeah.
But
he just gets lightly smushed and he's like,
it's not even really the car's fault. It's 100% the stupid robot's fault.
Because the robot is a robot. He could stop it.
Because the robot is a robot.
He doesn't. He just looks at it while it's coming at him.
So we end on a cliffhanger. Long story short, Tom Atkins is trying to stop the commercial from airing, which will kill all the children in America with silver shamrock masks. And he does this by calling some company and yelling, "Stop it," over and over again, hoping that it stops it. Carly, do you think that Tom Atkins successfully saved America's children?
I think he did because he's a treasure. And I think that that's just how life works for Tom Atkins. But my favorite thing about the ending of this movie is that it could end multiple times.
Sure.
And I feel like sometimes I do forget about if I haven't watched this movie in a while. And I'm like, okay, is this the end? Oh, nope, he's driving with the girl. Oh my God, now she's gonna kill him because she's a robot. And then like that keeps happening for like a really long time. Oh, he killed her. Just kidding. Her arm's still alive. Oh, no. Now he's outside of the car and he got rid of the arm, but now the body's back. There's so many layers of like the thing coming back. And my theater just completely cheered when she finally died. And then we have, oh, he got it switched on that channel. What's the next channel? And I'm like, why is this like, they're just get it. It's fine. It's fine. He totally did it.
So apparently the original ending was that you just hear the screams of millions of children being murdered. But they decided to make it more ambiguous. And Tom Atkins has been interviewed since stating that, of course, he saved the day.
That's how I'm feeling.
But
originally, they're all supposed to die.
I mean, originally they're supposed to die. Tom Atkins thinks he saves the day. And really, it's up to you to decide.
I choose to believe in Tom Atkins.
I know, but I do kind of like the really horrible ending also.
I also love that ending. And I kind of was like, this is what I choose to believe it. But then I was like, but then Tom Atkins is a gold mine. I don't know why I said that. He's
he's a great gold
I literally am trying to think of the word that I was like trying to say.
He's got it's a not heart of my gold brain.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Gold I don't know. Mine. Fuck. Guys.
The booch will do that to me. But he's great is all that I meant to say, and I believe.
Do you know Tom Atkins? Who, the gold mine? Yes. That guy.
I choose to believe in Tom Atkins, okay?
Okay. I'm okay with that.
He saves the day in, well, I guess, Night of the Creeps.
He does. He's just kind of saves the day kind of guy.
He is. He's very sensual in ways that you don't realize until you're standing right in front of him.
Wow.
Apparently.
Did you?
Not me.
Were you into it? No. I mean, Tom Atkins, how old is Tom Atkins, would you say?
He's older.
He was born in the 30s. I know that for a fact.
So he's an older man, but I'm saying Ellie couldn't say no to his charms. Jamie Lee Curtis couldn't say no to his charms.
Could you say no to his charms?
I don't know. Maybe I mean, if Tom in his prime, Carly, I don't know.
You're
to
a
be
single
honest.
Gal. You run into Tom Atkins at a bar, and he, you know, he hits on you a little bit. Are you turning Tom Atkins down?
No. If he says, I'll say, "Thrill me, Tom Atkins."
Good answer. I like that. Even if it's not true, I like that. I choose to believe it's true.
Thank you. Just an amazing actress, I guess.
Thrill me. Oh my god. Okay. Are we done talking about Halloween 3? I mean, we're never done talking about Halloween 3, but are we done talking about Halloween 3?
Sure.
Okay. Love this movie.
This could go on for days.
Glad we got to cover it.
Me too.
So you have a lot going on over there, Miss Carly Girl.
I've been a busy, busy lady.
Are you still gonna be at Comic-Con in LA?
Oh my gosh, yes. So, fun fact, I was randomly this week asked to be on a panel at Comic-Con LA on Sunday. I believe it's at 1. So if anybody is going to be here in Los Angeles for LA Comic-Con and is going to be there on Sunday, you should come A, say hi to me, and also B, come check out this panel that I've never done a panel before. I'm very nervous, but also very excited. We're going to see how it goes. We're in this together, guys.
You were not. It's just you.
Oh my God. You know what's fun? So I don't even know really why I'm going to be on this panel, but I'm very excited to be talking
about.
You
are an icon. You are a modern horror icon.
Apparently, which is exciting. I'm not really. I'm kidding. But the guy that I've been talking to, that was the guy that he's the moderator or something like that. But he recently started a podcast, and our podcast, Miss Amy, was one of the podcasts he listened to when he was kind of trying to figure out the format for his podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
I thought so, too.
He's a director, right?
They're all writers.
Okay.
That are actually on. So, one of my friends, Jared, Rivet, who wrote the movie Jackals and also, was a writer on the new Are You Afraid of the Dark? He's going to be on the panel. There's another gentleman whose name I forgot, who is an author, and he's going of horror novels, and he's going to be on it. And then the gentleman that reached out to me who has a podcast and is also a writer, I think he's going to be moderating. So,
well, you watch a lot of modern horror movies. You are a good, you know, person of the people.
I appreciate that.
I'm a good person of the people, amazing. But I was not invited. So I will. I
think it was just really short notice.
I'm going to live vicariously through you on this one, girl. I am jealous, and I hope you have all the fun. And please report back on how it goes.
You know I'm bringing you on the next one.
It's cool. I'm really excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited to just name drop the shit out of Modern Horrors, Final Girls.
Yes.
God Country. I don't know if you saw on the Slack channel, but everyone's like, just keep dropping God Country.
Yeah. There's this new horror movie coming out. It's called God Country.
And this one time when we were filming God Country.
What's coming?
The future of modern horror as Luke Rodriguez and Jake Parker on this movie called God Country. Don't know if you know of it.
Rad, I love it.
It's kind of a big deal. So, I made the guts for it with my girlfriend, Amy. We do a podcast.
Yes. We do. Nice. It's true. I'm so excited for you. That's pretty much how it's going to go. You got a lot of fun stuff going on over there. Have you watched Marianne, by the way?
Marianne? Oh, no, no. I'm still on. Okay. So I've been at Beyond Fest for pretty much, I lived there for about a week.
You lived at Beyond Fest?
I did. I lived at the Egyptian Theater. Yeah. I probably should have just like bought a parking space somewhere.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Did I tell you? So I've never seen Natural Born Killers.
Oh. And I was telling you last week that movie changes my personality for like an hour after I watch it.
I don't blame you. I would do it. Yes, me too.
Yes, did it?
It's so amazing. And
it's
like
hypnotic,
what's it,
right?
Is it like the 20th or the 25th anniversary?
I don't know, probably.
Of the release of it. And so they had a panel with Woody Harrelson, Juliette Lewis, Oliver Stone, and the producer whose name I forget because I'm a terrible person. And legitimately, guys, I watched for my first time Natural Born Killers with Woody fucking Harrelson sitting directly behind me.
Fuck you.
I could hear him laughing at Tommy Lee Jones.
Fuck you.
It literally,
I'm so upset at you right now.
It was an experience, and I fucking love Beyond Fest for moments like that. It was insane. It was insane. I also got to see the first two episodes. There's only three of Are You Afraid of the Dark, the new new release of it on Nickelodeon. And I loved it. I loved it so much. And the little kid, Jeremy, from It. Oh, God, what character does he play? Oh, sorry. But basically, the moral of my story is that the kid that played Bill and then one of the other kids from It were there, too, supporting him. And it was fucking adorable. Aww. Like, I can't handle it. They were sitting, like, across the way. But it was really cute. I don't know. I love Beyond Fest is the moral of my story. And I really wish that if it happened at any other time of the year, my friend Amy could come up and just live with me for a week and go to all the movies with me.
I swear to God, I totally would. And I wish I could. And Beyond Fest is at the worst fucking time of year for the business I'm in.
I know it is.
I hate it. I want to go all the time.
I would love it if you could. It's my dream. It's only my dream.
It's only your dream. It's only my dream. You get to at least go.
I know.
Fucking Woody Harrelson is like my heart. It's like my whole heart is breaking when you tell me that.
Like right behind me.
Fuck. I fucking hate you and I love you at the same time. Did you like Natural Born Killers though?
I really did.
That movie's pretty bonkers.
I really, really did. And it was so funny because I guess Warner Brothers like wouldn't let Beyond Fest show the director's cut.
Mm.
They had to show like the theatrical release. And so Oliver Stone called for a riot. He was like, Warner Brothers doesn't want you to see the director's cut, but they'll put out the Joker. He was like, but whatever. He's like, they don't want you to see this because they think that you'll riot. And he's like, so basically what I'm saying is you better fucking riot after seeing this movie.
I'm telling you, though, like the theatrical release of Natural Born Killers legit changes my personality for like an hour after I watch it. That movie is hypnotic. There is something about it that has a serious effect on me. And I'm guessing not only me, but no. I'm just saying. Right?
Yeah, it's so amazing.
There's
because
something about it. I don't know what it is.
I love the style because so obviously Quentin Tarantino, right? He wrote the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved in Kill Bill Volume 1 when it goes from like regular film to like the cartoon world.
Yeah.
And then like this movie though, everything is just so beautiful and imaginative, and there's cartoons and there's this weird like TV show kind of vibe, and there's like all of these, you know, screens that are kind of like playing this really mystical thing, and it's just so it really puts you into that state of mind. It's so mm-hmm. chaotic, but yeah. It flows so well that like I think it really does kind of like put you into that mentality. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, it does.
And like, holy shit, RDJ was like hilarious. Oh my God.
So good.
So good. So good.
Juliette Lewis is awesome.
She was like really 20 when she did that movie. It was like, that's nuts.
No, she's bonkers talented.
Yeah. I was really impressed. I feel like that's why it took me so long to see it, was so I could see it like that, you know?
Totally.
I loved it.
So, slightly less interesting is my life, which, and by slightly, I mean severely less interesting is my life. Been watching Veronica Mars, though.
And yes!
And I have been watching it for a while, and Tommy B, our listener, and faithful friend of the show, Tommy B, has been trying to get us to watch it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I started watching it a while ago, but I'm on season 3 right now, and I'm like, I'm so into it. I liked season 1 and 2. I'm obsessed with season 3, and cannot stop watching it, and cannot wait to see what happens next. And I just love Veronica Mars, and I'm so excited to watch next the movie, and then after that, season 4, which just came out fairly recently. Super into Veronica Mars now. Thank you, Tommy B.
Is it on Hulu?
It is.
Okay, I need to revisit it, because I don't think I've ever made it to season 3. Because I was downloading it illegally, definitely, at the time that I was watching it.
You know, I like season 1 and I like season 2, but there were lulls in it where I became less interested. Totally. Season 3 is like, I cannot stop watching. I'm super into it. Veronica, I feel like, is as a college student, is a lot more confident and badass. And I am addicted to watching her. The relationships are a little bit more strong. I mean, I guess I can just relate to her as a college person more than I can as a high school student.
That makes sense, I think.
And I think the stories are a little bit more interesting and relatable to adults. But I'm really enjoying it. I've been watching, I had my niece and nephew visiting who are like 4 and 5, I think, or around that age. And I introduced them to Hocus Pocus, and it was basically the best night of my life. They loved it, and I loved watching them love it. I was nervous that it might be too scary for them. They were stoked on it. They were excited. I asked them their favorite characters. They had answers for me. Like, they were super into it. And then the next night, they wanted to watch another scary movie, so we watched A Nightmare Before Christmas because it was all I had.
That's that was fair.
Kid friendly. And they were like, I liked it, but I liked the other movie better. And I was like, yes.
You're like, that's good, children. Very good.
You are correct, children.
Zachary Binks. That's all I think of when I think of Hocus Pocus.
But yeah, I was like, amok. I was so excited time. Just so stoked that they were so into it. And I couldn't. Watching that movie through children's eyes, that was the first time I've ever gotten to do that. Like, watch a kid enjoy a movie I loved from my childhood, and it's the first time they're watching it. I mean, Hocus Pocus is just, like, so close, so near and dear to my heart, and watching them love it was just special and wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that they loved it.
I loved that they loved it. Like, it meant so much. It meant way more to me than I thought it would. I was, like, getting a little teary-eyed. I was super excited about it. Because I remember being little and watching it for the first time. You know, it was very cool.
And being super like, cool. Oh, Zachary Binks.
Super cool. I mean, they were definitely younger than I was when I saw it. But they were pretty badass about it. I was expecting them to get scared. They barely covered their eyes at all. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
What else? Veronica Mars and scary movies. Yep, that's it. That's all I got, girl. So I guess I'll pull out my Eyes of Frog mug from our grab bag for next week. Are we ready for that?
Yes, let's do it.
Before we do that, let me put my Eyes of Frog mug down.
My Eyes of Mug.
I just want to give a quick shout out. My friend Bridget is a very cool person. And she and her now husband, boyfriend at the time, went on this like 2 year long trip where they basically put all their shit in storage and traveled the world with very little money. They traveled through Europe. They rode their bikes around Europe. They camped and lived wherever they could. And they hiked the PCT. Like, they did so much shit and they had little to no money. And my friend Bridget wrote a book about her experience called I Have Everything I Need. And I'm just so proud of her. I think it's so cool that she, I mean, they're settled now. They're a little bit more settled now, at least. And like living and working here in one place. But I mean, how cool to just live your life and just travel around and have this amazing experience and to get to write about it. If you're interested in checking out her book, which I highly recommend you do because it's just basically her journals from their travels, you can go on roamsandwrites.com, R-O-A-M-S and W-R-I-T-E-S.com, or you can find I Have Everything I Need on Amazon.com if you're interested in reading her book. She's also an artist, so all the sketches are really cool. Anyway, just something I'd like to shout out because I'm super proud of my friend who did something awesome and created something amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that just like the fucking dream, you know? Just fucking quit your job and travel for 2 years with no money. It's basically like, you know, if you read that book, you might want to quit your job and, you know, figure out a way to just travel, you know, because that's really what life's about, man. Experiences, and not everything has to be work all the time.
Totally. I need to learn that. I would love to do that.
Dude, fuck. Seriously. Even if it's just a long, maybe not 2 years. 2 years is a lot. I don't know how they did it. I'm excited to like actually like sit down and read the book. I finally just got my copy. So I've heard a lot of her stories, but I haven't like sat down and read the book yet. So I'm stoked to just fucking make my way through it. You know, just sleeping on couches and wherever you can, park benches and, you know, eating whatever you find and can get. And I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty fucking cool.
That's so awesome.
Super cool. I have some cool friends, man. Check that out. It's called I Have Everything I Need. Again, you can find it on Amazon or roamandwrites.com. There's a store in there where you can buy it.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So before, I just wanted to shout that out real quick.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She just had her book release party and I just came back from it and I'm just so excited for her. Okay. So let's pick our movies for next week. Oh my God.
What are we doing?
Oh my God. I don't know. I just picked two movies. Here we go. Can you grab the Just Watch website so you can make sure these are still streaming?
Yes, I can. Not,
I will grab again. Also, Halloween 3 is in here again. So if I happen to grab it, I'll grab another one.
We'll just need to watch it again.
We're not watching it. I mean, we can watch talk it again, but I don't want to talk about it again.
Tom Atkins.
Oh. Werewolf. Mm-hmm. I chose Bad Moon, streaming on Prime, Tubi TV, Vudu, and Shudder.
You chose Twilight?
Bad Moon.
Twilight. It's on
Prime Video. Stop typing in Twilight.
It's on Prime Video, Vudu, Tubi TV, and Shudder.
Shudder. Okay. So Bad Moon.
Yes. Oh, man. Right. This poster is beautiful. I'm stoked.
I'm picking another one.
Oh, and it's appropriate because the full moon is on Sunday.
Carly, you will be so happy. I selected Monster. And the movie is Cloverfield, streaming on Netflix.
That one is on Netflix. I saw it there the other night, but I'm going to type this in just to make sure.
Okay.
Yep, it's on Prime Video, also on Hulu, and on Epix.
Okay, guys. So, Cloverfield and Bad Moon. Checking it out for next week.
Exciting things.
Things are happening. Exciting things are happening, guys.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.